been without something to say. Amen. So we're glad you're here and joining us for this special day. And I just want to say our kids did a fantastic job. And let's just give them another hand. Normally, we would have our Kids Life stands for Kids Living in Faith every day. And normally, we would have their own class as part of the service, but they're going to be joining us today. And you know, when food's cooking, the sermon is short. Amen. I've noticed that prayers around mealtime are the shortest prayers. So it's good to have you today, and I just want to encourage you to open your hearts and receive from the Lord. And if you need to move your chairs to get comfortable, that's fine too. And praise God. You ready to get into the Word today? Father, we just thank you for your precious written Word and your spoken Word. Father, it is your Word that has created this universe and keeps it together. Lord, you said that we could live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. And so, Father, today we receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's in my other Bible here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to go to chapter 2. You know, every month we have given a theme, and we kind of follow that theme as best as the Lord leads. And the theme for the month of December is the goodness of God. And I want you to know today that God is good. Why don't you say that with me? Say, God is good. And I'm sure that many of us could share testimonies of how good God has been to you. Well, you know what? That is God's desire for every person. And I thank you for that. Amen. And God is just good. You know, long time ago, Oral Roberts received that truth in his heart about how good God is. Sometimes we want to think how bad God is. God did this and God caused that to happen. But I want you to know today that our God is good. And he is the author of good. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin with verse 1. And he said, "And you has he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." I want you to know today that there is no bad that a person can do that the goodness of God can't change and help. Amen? You could be the worst person, but God can give you hope. He can give you a future. He can turn your hopelessness around into something good. So we were quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 2, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But this is my favorite part right here, but God. I love it when God interrupts me, because when God interrupts me, he's about to bless me. When God interrupts me, he's about to do something good. When God interrupts me, he's about to do something incredible and awesome. So God, interrupt me anytime that you want. But God. And I want you to pay special attention who is rich in mercy. Say, he's rich in mercy. You know, a lot of people have riches in a lot of things. They have stocks, they have bonds, they have properties. But God is rich in mercy. And he is a mercy dispensing machine. And you don't have to put in a coin. All you have to do is ask for mercy, and God will richly bestow it on you. I don't know about you, but there were times in my life that I needed his mercy. If it wasn't for his mercy, I would not be standing here today. but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. And I want to read Ephesians 2:7 in a couple different translations, where it says it's going to take the ages. It's going to take ages for God to show us how good he really is. He cannot just show us how good he is in one moment. But for God, it's going to take ages upon ages to show us how good he really is. We only see a glimpse. We see in part. We know in part. But when God comes again, there's going to be an enhanced ability when we get our glorified bodies to receive all the things that God wants us to have. Do you realize that today we are just experiencing the down payment of the Holy Spirit? Imagine when we get the full thing. Imagine when this incorruption, or when this corruption puts on incorruption and we have glorified bodies, imagine how it's going to be then. So Ephesians 2:7, the NIV says that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. You know, his riches cannot be compared with anything on this earth. There's nothing on this earth that can compare to how good God is, and his riches, and his abundance, and his awesomeness. It's incomparable. The New King James says that he might show the exceeding riches. How many know rich is one thing, but to have exceeding riches is another thing? Our God is exceeding rich in goodness. He is lavish in goodness. He has an abundant goodness, and he has enough goodness to share with everybody 10 to 20 times above what we could even ask or think. The New Living Translation says, so God can always point us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor. How many know that when you're in relationship with someone who is full of the wealth of favor, it's a good relationship to be in? God hooks us up with all of heaven's best through Jesus Christ. And then the English version says he did this to demonstrate for all time to come the extraordinary greatness. Everybody say extraordinary greatness. Of his grace in the love he showed us in Christ Jesus. So today I simply want to just talk to you about the immeasurable riches of grace. How many know that if you were to go in certain parts of the ocean, you would not be able to measure how deep it is? We don't have the equipment necessarily to measure how deep it is, and that's how deep God is. He's immeasurable. He's incomparable. He's extraordinary. I love the words that the Bible uses. I love the words that describe our God. Our words are so limited into how good God really is. Well, what does it mean to be rich in mercy? When someone is rich in money, what does that mean? It means you got a lot of money. Amen? It means you're able to go where you want to go, when you want to go, how you want to go, and wherever you want to go. There's no limit. Amen? And how many know that there's no limit to God's goodness? There's no limit to his grace. You know, someone who commits murder, we put them in prison, we try them, and God's goodness is enough to change a murderer. How do I know? Because the Apostle Paul was a murderer. He went around hurting people on purpose. He was like an ungodly bouncer. He was like the devil's bouncer who would go into people's homes, and because you believed in Christ, he had a right to take you from your home and to incarcerate you. But God's goodness was rich enough to transform that murderer into an apostle, one who quit hurting people to blessing people. That's how powerful God's goodness is. That's how rich God's goodness is. He can take the person who cheats on their taxes. Now, no one does that here, amen? But you know what? Whether there was a murderer, whether you cheat on your taxes, it's all the same under God's eyes. It's wrong. Jesus made a tax collector as one of his disciples, Matthew, or otherwise known as Levi. And you know what tax collectors did in those days? If you owed $100 in taxes, they would say, you got to pay $120. And they would take that 20, they would give Rome the 100, and they'd keep the 20, and that's how they made their money. And no one liked tax collectors. But how rich God is in mercy, that his mercy was rich enough to transform that tax collector into a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how good God is. You want to hear how good God is? Go with me to Exodus chapter 34. I'm making the case today of how good God is. Now, this is a powerful verse. Exodus chapter 34, beginning with verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. You know, his name, he's got many names. And each name represents a characteristic or a quality of God. When you say Jehovah Jireh, that means he's a provider. When you say Jehovah Rophi, that means he's Lord the healer. When you say Jehovah Sitkenu, that means he's Lord my righteousness. When you say Jehovah Rohi, that means he's the Lord my shepherd. And every one of these qualities can benefit us. So here was the Lord, he appeared in the cloud, and he was proclaiming his name, and notice what he says about himself. Verse 6, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, or Jehovah Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. But I want you to notice that the first thing that God announces about himself, he keeps mercy for thousands. I'll tell you what, sin will cause you to be overwhelmed in clay. Have you ever been stuck in moist, wet clay? You know, when you try to pick your foot up, it makes that suction sound. You know, if your shoes are loose, your foot may get out, but that shoe is going to stay in there. Or if you try to drive out, you're just spinning your tires. Well, so many times in life, it seems like you're stuck in clay. You can't get out. You're spinning your tires. You're not going anywhere. But when God's mercy comes in, he picks you up out of that clay. There's enough power to take you from that miry clay and to set you upon the rock and to change your life forever. That's what God's goodness is about. He forgives iniquity. I want to tell you today, you stand here, you sit here today as a forgiven person. You've been forgiven from transgression. God wants to show you mercy. He wants to bring you into his home. He wants to bring you into a relationship with him. And it's through his goodness. I mean, that excites me. mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression. That means when you broke the law, and every one of us at one time have broken God's law. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, His mercy showed up, and He forgave our transgression. That means if you got arrested and you go before the judge, and Jesus, your attorney, he's your defense attorney. He presents the case, and the main evidence, He presents the blood that was shed on Calvary. And when the judge sees the blood, He says, case closed. Your case is dismissed. You've been forgiven. You can walk out a free person. God is rich in mercy. Do you know how patient He is? He will give you several opportunities to partake of His mercy before judgment comes. Because of who God is, He must judge. He's the only one qualified to judge, and He will judge the living and the dead someday. That day is coming. But you've already been forgiven. You sit here today not trying to be forgiven. You are forgiven. As far as God is concerned, He paid your debt on Calvary. You don't owe a thing. He set you free from the dominion of sin. God is rich in mercy. Go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And if you're ever looking for a home church, if you do not have a church that you regularly can worship at, we want to welcome you here. Amen? This is a good church. We believe that this is a place where we can inherit God's promises and experience their benefits. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who gives us benefits with His promises? Amen? He doesn't expect you to work to be good enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't be good enough to earn salvation. Salvation is not earned. It is a gift that can only be received. You can only receive it. It's not based on what you did or where you came from or where you're heading or what you're involved in. It's solely based on the blood of Jesus, the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. You know, David began this prayer when he transgressed God's law. This was the prayer that he prayed when he messed up and made a great big mistake. He got involved in a relationship he shouldn't have been in. Then he committed murder to try to cover up his crime. And God saw everything that happened. You know, you got to understand, God is listening and He's watching everything that we do and say. You know, some people say, oh, we're in church, you better not say that. As if God's not listening outside. God's not just listening when you're on church ground. He's listening. So is the devil listening too. Just a little side note. When you speak negative words about yourself or about others, you're in agreement with the devil. He's just waiting for you to speak those negative words so that he can do what he needs to do. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when you speak words based on truth, then the Holy Spirit hooks up with you. That's a little side note. I won't charge you anything extra for it. But David's cry, have mercy on me. Why? He knew that he did wrong. He was caught. And when he was confronted, he repented. but he cried out for mercy. He knew the power of God's mercy. No matter how bad you messed up, there is mercy enough for God to change it around and to turn your circumstance. He's got more than enough mercy, and he wants to share it with you. But it's based on whether or not you want it. God will never force you to have mercy. Here, you know, like trying to feed someone medicine that doesn't want medicine. You're going to take this mercy if you want it or not. That's not God. Here's what God does. He takes his mercy. He wrapped it up in swaddling clothes. He brought it to earth. That mercy grew in the knowledge of God and in the wisdom of God. Then that mercy gave his ultimate gift, his life. And when he gave his life, his blood was shed. And that blood needed to be shed because that was the payment that was required. And so God presents that gift to us. He said, here's my gift, my very best, my son. And he gives you the opportunity to accept or reject his son. Many people reject him for whatever reason. But those of us that have accepted him, I can tell you as a fact that when you accept the Lord, when you accept that free gift that God has so graciously given to us, it will change your life. You will not be the same. I'm not the same because I was changed. But our God is rich in mercy. And thank God that David had enough sense to cry out for mercy when he messed up. Amen? When you mess up, don't try to cover it. Cry out for mercy, and God will give you mercy. And mercy will come in abundance. And mercy will cover you. Mercy will keep you. Mercy will deliver you. Mercy will change you. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And let's start with verse 70. John's father, Zechariah, began to prophesy. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. You know, God wants you saved from your enemies. He doesn't want you to be consumed by your enemies, but you've got to receive his salvation. You've got to call upon him and you shall be saved. And from the hand of all that hate us. Notice verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And that's really, God saves you so that you can serve him. Amen? And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. You know, we're still preparing the way for the king to enter into people's hearts today. We're removing the high places. We're building up the low places. We're straightening the crooked places out so that the king could come right into the heart as easy as possible. That's why we have preaching. How can you hear without a preacher? How can they preach unless they be sent? Blessed are the feet of them that bring good news. I got blessed feet today. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God. Tender mercy. Tender mercy. You know, God doesn't deal with you according to the sins that you have committed. He deals with you according to what Christ has done. Amen? Whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. But it's through the tender mercy. Tender mercy. I want you to know how God deals with you. He deals with you as a father deals with a child. Tender mercy. You know, when Gabriel was born and I first held Gabriel, you know, I had to deal with him tenderly. You know, I couldn't carry him like a football. Now I do because him and I, we wrestle and he's able to. But when he was first born, I had to carry him gently, tenderly. And that's how God deals with us. He'll come to you gently. He'll come to you tenderly, you know. But the less you hear, the stronger his voice will be. Amen? Because he loves you. He is so rich in mercy. Go with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I can't even get off how rich God is in mercy. Look at verse 4. Paul writes to the Romans here and he says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads people to repentance?" Did you know? It's not when you say, turn or burn. You know, in my young, zealous days, I would sometimes approach people, turn or burn. And I was wondering why I didn't get any results. Because then I came across the scripture. It is the goodness of God that leads men into repentance. Gabriel, can I use you as an example? All right? God takes you by the hand. He lifts you up. And step by step, he shows you some goodness here. He shows you some goodness here. He shows you some goodness here. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Finally, he shows you some goodness here. Thank you. And then something happens in your heart and you want to surrender. You want to give up your way. You want to give up the ways that you used to do, the things that you used to do, the words that you used to use, the actions that you used to take. And it's that goodness. When you see how good God is and he keeps leading you by goodness, then it will cause you to repent. It will cause you to change. It will cause you to turn around. It's the goodness of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the love of God. It's the kindness of God. Jesus didn't have to come out of heaven, but he did, because he loves you so much. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies with him, while we were against heaven, God sent his son and he loved us and he demonstrated his love like no one can do. Amen. And it's that love that will lead you to repentance. Now you have a choice. Anytime that goodness leads you, you can opt out. You have an opt-out policy. Oh, God, you're too good to me. I can't take your goodness, Lord. I'm going to opt out. Well, what's the alternative of God's goodness? The devil's badness. Jesus said, he said, you're either for me or you're against me. I'm just going to be as like the world as I can and as like Jesus I can. You know, you walk on a picket fence long enough, you're going to fall. Now, God will lead you. His goodness leads you step by step. He shows you his love, his patience. When you think about how patient God has been for us, that'll help us be a little bit more patient with others. Amen? But it's the goodness of God that leads men to repent. Yeah, even though God is a judge and he will judge, but he first gives us opportunity to share and to partake of his goodness. Why? Because our God is good. What does it mean? What does goodness mean? It means the quality of being good. I love how the dictionary does that. It means praiseworthy character. It means moral excellence. When it comes to God, it's righteousness, holiness, justice, kindness, and love. Isn't it amazing how the Bible says faith works by love? Faith works according to the goodness of God that God has shown us. See, when God shows you a little goodness, it'll cause you to trust him more for greater goodness. This is what Sarah did. When she was told by God that she was going to bear a son in her old age. Now, her first response was, she laughed. Yeah, I'm going to have a baby. That's a good one, God. But you know what happened? She began to think of how good God has been to them. And she went back in her life and she considered the faithfulness of God. She saw how God's goodness led her and Abraham through the wilderness and through the unknown territory. And when they left home, when they left Haran, she saw the goodness of God and she recounted the goodness of God, of how good God was back then, how good God was last week, how good God was yesterday. So she, something birthed in her heart when she began to consider the goodness of God. Faith rose up in her heart and she said, if God was good to me then, if God was good to me back there, then he'll be good to me today, because God doesn't change. And that's what gave her faith to conceive in her womb. It was the goodness of God. When you're having a bad day, begin to think of how good God is. When you're feeling depressed, begin to sing praises to God. You know what I do? I go through the alphabet and I say, God is almighty. He is always by my side. I can call upon him. I delight to do his will. He's my everything. He's my friend who sticks closer than a brother. God is good. I begin to go through the alphabet, and I'll tell you, by the time I get to Z, that depression goes. That feeling of loneliness goes. That down feeling goes. When you begin to declare who God is, it'll do something to you. Because our God is rich in mercy. Just as Daddy Warbucks was rich to Annie. Amen? Our God has got an abundant supply. There is no shortage in God. He doesn't have a famine of mercy. Ooh, I'm sorry, child, I used all my mercy yesterday. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow. No. God doesn't run out of mercy. He doesn't run out of goodness. But he allows you to make a choice whether or not you're going to accept his goodness. That's really the key for us. You know, when Israel was delivered from Egypt, they saw the goodness of God. First of all, they saw how all the plagues came on the Egyptians, but nothing in Goshen. All the plagues were out here, but in Goshen was protection. Then, finally, Pharaoh let them go, which was a miracle in itself. And they stood between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. That's called being between a rock and a hard place. Some of us have been there in life, between a rock and a hard place. We don't know which way to go or what to do. And Moses called out to God, and God said, lift your hand. And he saw the waters of the Red Sea part. And they were able to walk through on dry ground. They saw the Egyptian army drowned in the Red Sea. One time in one of my schools in Illinois, this was in high school, they said, oh, that was just the Sea of Reeds. That was just a few inches of water that they crossed on. Wasn't it amazing that the whole Egyptian army drowned on a few inches of water? You know, what they kept doing, you know? It wasn't just inches. God parted the sea. When you walked through the Red Sea, you saw a wall of water here and a wall of water here. You walked on dry ground and your enemies were stopped. Your enemies, the Egyptian army couldn't get to them. There was a pillar of fire. There was a cloud by day. And when the Egyptian army got close, that pillar of fire went around and protected them. That's the goodness of God. When they were in the wilderness, there were no Taco Bells. There was no Burger King. There was no Pizza Hut. There was no Funks. What are they going to do for food? God provided them fresh baked bread from heaven every day. He provided water from a rock. Look at how good God is. He met every one of their needs. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. That's what the Bible says. You can read it. How'd you like to not have to shop for 40 years? Of course, some of the ladies, that'd be depressed. Don't take that away from me. But think about it. They were the fashion setters because their clothes didn't wear out. For 40 years, they kept the fashion standard. They didn't have to change their clothes until they got to the promised land. That's the goodness of God. He fed them with quail when they cried out for meat. That's the goodness of God. They saw the goodness of God demonstrated before them. But yet, there were many who saw the goodness but never received the goodness. It's one thing to see the goodness. It's another thing to let that goodness be yours, to receive the goodness. You know, there was a woman. Jesus was ministering in the marketplace. And this woman who had been caught in adultery. The men who caught her, how did she get caught? Where was the man? Amen? They wanted to stone her because the law said you should stone this person. Jesus wasn't fazed. He began to write some things in the sand. He looked up. Jesus is writing some things in the sand. He looked up and he said, you without sin, cast the first stone. When he made that statement, he heard rocks drop. People walked away. This is the goodness of God. The woman looked up, and the Lord said, where are your accusers? He said, I don't know. Or she said, I don't know. The Lord said, I don't accuse you either. The goodness of God. He gave her an opportunity to change her life, but he told her, go and sin no more. See, you got to take the goodness of God into your heart. You got to apply it to your life and change your way. The only way you're going to change your way is if you allow the goodness of God to come into your heart, and that will help you change your way. You will not change without the goodness of God, without taking ownership of the goodness of God. You got to take the good things that God has done, you got to apply it to your life, and you got to practice it. If you've really received the goodness of God, we'll see an evidence of change in your life. Or if you just said words, you didn't really mean it in your heart, no change is going to take place. Because God doesn't play games. He knows the people that really are serious about serving Him. And He knows the people that are just playing around. And you know what? Neither one of you can hide it. You can't hide the fact that you're just playing around. You don't fool God. And those who are serious, you can't hide it. When I got born again, I could not hide it. I was born again when I was 12 years old. I was in grade school at St. Patrick's School. The very first thing, the next day after I got born again, I went and told my principal and my science teacher. I said, guess what happened to me last night? I got born again. They said, praise the Lord, because they were born again too. I had to tell someone. Because I had allowed the goodness of God to come into my heart as a 12-year-old boy. It changed my life. And I couldn't hide my excitement. But sometimes, you know, some of you saints that have been walking with the Lord, you need to renew your excitement. You need to get excited again. You need to remember the day when the Lord came into your life, when you received the goodness of God. You need to remember how that did to you, and you need to show some more excitement now. Some of us have let our excitement, we've let the fuel run out of our excitement tank, and our excitement is running on empty. And you're just kind of there. You know what? It's okay to get excited. It's okay to show emotion. God is an emotional person. I guarantee you when Jesus went into the temple to clear it out, he didn't say, excuse me, please, I'm going to clear that table off now. Can I clear that table? Are you finished? No. He went in tipping off tables. See, you got to allow the goodness of God to come into your heart. Go with me to 1 Peter, and I'm almost done. Amen? I kind of knew I wasn't going to get off point one today. And that's okay, because I have a whole month to talk about it. That's what I like about being a pastor. I never thought I'd be doing series, but look at me now. I'm doing series. You know, when I was an evangelist, I'd get in and get out, man. I was a quick strike force. You know, I'd give you all I have in the short time that I had. But now I can take my time. See, you always want to leave people with something so they come back for more, amen? Because we're going to get stuffed today with all the food that we're going to have to eat. 1 Peter chapter 1. Bottom line today, I just want you to be so convinced of how so rich in mercy he is, and he wants to dispense that to you today. Amen? Today is the day. You're here today because today is, say today is the day. Look at someone and say, today is your day. Look at someone else and say, today is your day. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Knowing that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Yep, as a believer, when you receive the goodness of God, that doesn't mean everything is going to go good. That means that you are going to have some trials, but it's going to be that goodness that you received in your heart that's going to get you through that trial. Amen? And it's going to cause you to rejoice. He said here, it was because of the abundant mercy, he has begotten us to a lively hope. Maybe you lost your hope. Maybe you're in a situation that you feel hopeless. You don't see how things can change. You don't see how it can get better. The goodness, the mercy of God will add to your life. It'll liven your hope. It'll quicken your hope. It'll strengthen your hope so that you're not hopeless. Amen? And one more scripture. One more scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice, let's look at verse 11. This is Paul's testimony. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious or violent. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said he obtained mercy. We're going to give you an opportunity to obtain mercy today. The mercy of God can be yours today. God's got an abundant mercy to give you. But you must receive it as a gift. Amen? If you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about by grace, God's favor, God's goodness, nothing that you did other than to receive his grace. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, so that any man can boast. It is the gift of God. The goodness of God is a gift of God. And he wraps it in the package of Christ. And Christ demonstrated to the world how good God is. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What did Christ do? He went around healing the sick. He went around freeing the tormented. He went around accepting the unaccepted. He went around blessing the children. Let the little children come unto me. He did not discriminate against one person or one group. He let the Pharisees, who gave him the hardest time, he told them the truth, and he gave them opportunity after opportunity to receive of the goodness of God. But because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, it kept them from receiving the goodness. You're not here to please a person. You're here to please Jesus Christ today. You're not here to please me. You're here to please God our Father. And what pleases him most is if you open up your heart and receive what he has for you today. Today could be a day of new beginnings. Amen? And I guarantee you that you'll love the story, but today the story gets written. Amen? And I want to give you an opportunity to, I'm going to have my lovely wife come up, and we're going to give you an opportunity to obtain mercy today. Because you know what? We all deserved to be punished. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to take your punishment for you. I'm going to be your substitute. I'm going to be the one that takes the punishment so that you can have life. And if you're here today to obtain mercy, do you want to sing first?
Yeah, if you would like, you could stand with us, or let's sing this song together. It's called Merciful, Wonderful Savior.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my mic up a little bit, Mr. Les. Thank you, Jesus. But as we sing, if you would like prayer, it doesn't have to be just for salvation, but you just need some goodness of God dosed on you.
Yeah, you need to be touched.
Just come
by
up and
God.
We'll
just
pray
come
over
on
you.
Up and we'll pray for you.
Precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you've rescued the souls of men. Hallelujah. Comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost their way. Oh, when we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise.
If you feel like you need prayer,
you
just come on up.
You are the one we
adore. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed.
You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Oh, we worship you in this place. Oh, you are the one. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. sing it together. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Sing Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing grace to us. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for your healing power. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your healing power, Lord. Jesus.
Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound that saved
a wretch
like
me. I once was lost,
but
now I'm.
Oh, we thank you for finding us.
But now I see. Grace that taught
my heart to fear, and grace my fears. How precious did that grace appear? We thank you, Lord, the hour we first believed. Hallelujah.
I've been set free.
Come on, church, if you've been set free.
My
yes. Hallelujah. We break the chains in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Unending love, amazing grace. Oh, we receive your grace in this place today, Lord. Yes, you promised good to us, Lord. Hallelujah. We break it. Oh, and my portion be as long as life. Hallelujah. Oh, you are forever.
Be forever.
Oh, you will always be ours, Lord. You're always by our side. Hallelujah. in this place. I declare freedom in this place today, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your healing rain. Hallelujah. Let's sing about His healing rain today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. Hallelujah. Yes, we thank you for your healing rain in this place today, Lord. If you need healing, this is the time. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive your healing if you need healing today. Hallelujah. Healing rain is falling down. Hallelujah. Your healing rain in this place, Lord. Yes. We're not afraid of your healing, Lord. Oh, healing rain is falling down. Yes, Lord.
Just raise it.
Not afraid. Oh, I'm not afraid. Oh, healing rain.
Yes, it is.
I'm not afraid.
Oh, healing rain. It's
healing rain. Oh. Kind of healing. We got all kinds of problems that happen in this life, and it's time for some healing. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your healing rain. I thank you for mending broken hearts and broken spirits, Father. I thank you the deception has to go. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your healing power, relationships are healed right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It is by your majesty, Lord. You are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. And there is no other name greater than the name of Jesus. We declare the name of Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. We declare the name of Jesus in this place. Jesus, we shout the name of Jesus. The name that is greater than every other name. It is because of the blood of Jesus that we have the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
The goodness of God is far greater than the torment of the devil. Oh, just allow the goodness of God to come in. You know, he said he'll take the heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh.
Oh, your peace, Lord.
A heart of stone represents resistance to the move of God, to the Spirit of God, and to the Word of God. And the Word doesn't take root on rocks. It takes root in a soil that's soft, that can be watered, that can be moistened, that has some flexibility to it. So Father, I decree right now, Lord, that you're making us more flexible.
Oh, I thank you,
to
Lord,
move with the Spirit of God in the name
Spirit.
Of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, Father, you make us sensitive to his voice.
Yes, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we hook up with the Holy Spirit. We flow with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Father, to operate as you see fit, Father. We desire the best gifts. Hallelujah.
Just let's sing this song together. Majesty, we honor you in this place, Lord. Grace has found me just as I am. I'm alive in your hand. You have to see yourself in his hands. How would he take care of you? What would he do with you if you were in his hands? Think about this for a moment. If God had you in his hands, what would he do with you? Would he take care of you? Would he protect you? I want you to see yourself in his hands. He's got us. He's got us protected. We're the ones that reject that protection. But I thank you, Lord, that we're receiving from you today. We're receiving from the goodness of God today, Lord. Oh, we just worship you in this place. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Come on, church. We're in church. This is where we worship God. This is the place that we give glory and honor to Almighty God. Because he is worthy. He is worthy. Lord, you are worthy. You are majesty. There is no other name greater than the name of Jesus. No one else gets first place. Jesus gets first place. We thank you, Jesus, for refreshing us today. For giving us oil in our lamps that we can keep moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Well, we've had a good day in the Lord, amen. And we're still not done yet. We're going to have a meal together as a family. It's an opportunity to build new relationships. You know, if you see someone that you don't know, introduce yourself. The Bible says if you want to be friends, show yourself friendly. Get to know this is your family.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we just honor
you
today.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for every person that has come here today, Father. And Lord, for whatever reason that we're here, Lord, I pray that you would seal this work in our hearts.
Father.
You would plant this word, Father, in our hearts so that it would grow and bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold harvest,
Lord.
Father. Lord, I pray that you would make our hearts into good ground today.
Yes, Father.
And Lord, give us a greater understanding of your goodness. And Lord, just show us to everyone personally, individually, how good you are. And Lord, let us remember the message that was spoken today. Let us not forget, but let us apply ourselves to the goodness of God. And Father, we pray over this food that we're going to partake of today. We thank you, Father, for all the people who have given their time, their money, their efforts, all the food, Father. May every person who participated in making it and in bringing it and in causing this to come to pass be blessed. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that it is sanctified. It will nourish our bodies. And Lord, we'll have great fellowship that will honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, we could take about